What is going on, everybody? It's Thursday night. You know what that means. Full Press Hockey Weekly Show is here on at Full Press NHL on Twitter. You guys got Full Press Coverage Facebook, Full Press Hockey on Facebook, Full Press Coverage on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host, the voice of Full Press Hockey, Jim Berninger, rocking alongside my NWO members, Chris Wassel and Ian Gunnan, behind the scenes. And yes, if you noticed the other day, the ode to the Rockers are here. I promised it was going to happen. The Marty Jannetty, Shawn Michaels, Rockers colors. When I did a nightcap recap the other day, I was in this suit. So, bringing it back. What's up, gentlemen?
It's beautiful. It's simply beautiful. There's no other words for it.
That's it. It's beautiful, baby. That's it. You know what else is beautiful? We had a lot of news this past week. We can talk about some things. We're back again. You know, we're doing that thing. Yeah. And you and I had a Full Press NHL podcast over the weekend. Talked about the man, Erik Karlsson, getting traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins. 3-team trade. And it happened just before lunchtime on the East Coast.
Yeah, imagine this. You're sitting there on Sunday. You know, you might be sipping your... Nah, who am I kidding? You're at Sunday brunch. You're downing
you're
endless.
At brunch.
If you're not in New Jersey, you're downing endless mimosas. You're getting absolutely hammered, eating a bunch of bacon and French toast, eggs, and God knows what.
Exactly.
And then this hits. And if you were in Pittsburgh and you were enjoying a huge sandwich from Permonti's or some other lesser known places that are just as good in the Pittsburgh area, your stomach was pleasantly surprised by obviously the Karlsson trade, and there was much rejoicing, at least initially.
All over the place. I think you can, I mean, if you're a Sharks fan, you're getting what you're getting in this deal, but no one expects them to be good. But if you're in Montreal, you're in Pittsburgh, you have to rejoice initially. And, you know, there's a lot to it. It's a 3-team trade. The Montreal Canadiens get involved. We all knew that was going to happen. Pittsburgh and Carolina, like, pretty much came down to Pittsburgh, Carolina. There were other teams. But once Carolina started doing what they were doing with their defense, you kind of knew it was the Penguins or it was nobody. And, again, give credit where credit is due. Kyle Dubas taking a swing. But the fact of the matter is yes, Brady makes up a great point. The Sharks only retain $1.5 million over the lifetime of the contract going forward. So here's the deal. It's a mouthful. Pittsburgh gets Erik Karlsson. They get Rem Pitlick from Montreal, Dylan Hamelik, and a 2026 third-round pick from the Sharks. The Sharks get a protected 2024 first-round draft pick, could turn into a 2025 first-round draft pick. Mikael Granlund, Jan Ruda, and Mike Hoffman from Montreal. Montreal gets a second-round pick in 2025, defenseman Jeff Petrie, goaltender Casey DeSmith, and Nathan Lagarde from all this deal, as well as Pittsburgh retains 25% of Jeff Petrie's salary.
Okay.
And guess what? Jeff Petrie's probably leaving Montreal, too, and Montreal probably eats some of that money. So that's where the key is Montreal was able to move Hoffman and Pitlick without retaining any money. So they have retention spots going forward.
Yeah. Having those two retention spots is huge. You know, again, Pittsburgh gives up a little money to save a tiny bit of money. I mean, it's laughable. I mean, when you break down the amount, Jim, I think it's like $62,500 difference or something like that between the two.
Yeah, because you get Granlund and Ruda off the books.
Yeah, and then you get that.
And just Smith off the books, which equals $10 million of Karlsson or just about
that. Yeah, it's really goofy, but Pittsburgh temper, and I emphasize this, Pittsburgh temporarily gained $2.9 million in cap space. But there's something that we're going to need to get to later in the show where Pittsburgh had some hope of being able to do something with a certain player that they may not be able to do now based on certain injury news that came out this week.
Yeah, so look, we knew the Penguins wanted to get Erik Karlsson. We knew they wanted to upgrade their defense. And look, I want to get this out of the way right away. I'm not saying that he doesn't help their team. He does. He's going to help any team team he goes to. However, he doesn't help a certain goaltending problem that this team has. And, you know, everybody can say I'm a Tristan Jarry hater and I don't like the guy. I have nothing against the guy. Statistically, and I'm looking at numbers and what this team has done and how old this team is, the Pittsburgh Penguins, not sure that adding Erik Karlsson is going to solve the problem between the pipes because you overpaid for Tristan Jarry.
It's true. Doesn't help. Doesn't exactly help their team defense either, which they kind of needed, or their penalty killing for that matter, which they kind of needed late last year. That wasn't quite there. You can't give up 2 power play goals to Chicago. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying too.
Oops.
Again, Karlsson helps the power play. He's a Norris Trophy winner. He's a second reigning Norris Trophy winner to get traded. Since Doug Harvey from Montreal to the Rangers. The guy has 100 points, first time to Bryant. There's no doubt this guy's offensively gifted. And he's back to the form that he had in 2017 when he basically put the Ottawa Senators on his back and took them to the conference final, Game 7, where they lost to this Penguins team. The Penguins are must-see TV, no doubt. Crosby, Letang, Malkin, Karlsson, all that. The problem is his team is old. And they're taking one last shot at this thing. And that's the biggest concern for me in Pittsburgh right now is this team is old. It didn't get younger. It got older.
Older, yeah.
Especially on the back end. Letang's 36. Karlsson's 33. Crosby's 36. Malkin's 37. Carter's 38. And by the way, they're not a fast team either. Now, again,
they were. Yeah.
Again, I'm like Kyle Dubas. Sidney Crosby's still one of the best players in the world. He had 93 points as a 35-year-old last year. Mm-hmm. Do we expect him to do the same thing? Probably. But the thing is can Malkin do what he did again? Can all these guys continuously do what they did again? And, oh, by the way, you need your goaltender to stop the puck. And the backup's Alex Nedeljkovic. I'm just not sold on it.
I don't think most people are sold on the goaltending. They're almost hoping that Pittsburgh sort of catches lightning in a bottle, scores 4 or 5 goals a game like a certain team did in New Jersey for a long stretch, gets basically like a buffer from a winning streak, and then sort of makes the playoffs. And then from there, who knows?
But this team hasn't been out of the first round of the playoffs since 2018.
That's the other problem.
And, oh, by the way, this isn't the same team. And I know I may be repeating myself if people have heard the podcast, but this team is not the 2016-17 Penguins where they had to have a makeshift defense in 2016. Letang was back in 2017. They had good goaltending and Marc-Andre Fleury, Hall of Famer, and Matt Murray. And you know what this team, Penguins team, reminds me of? Go back to that stretch from about 2010 to about 2015, where the Penguins were the best offensive team in the league. Defensively, they were awful.
Anybody remembers the 2012 NHL playoffs?
Yeah.
Just go look that up sometime. Just look up a certain round matchup between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Philadelphia Flyers. Sit back and cringe it. Any YouTube video you see from all the bad defense.
It's awful.
It was one of the... I mean, look, 80s hockey, we get it. This wasn't 80s hockey. This was something worse.
It was a lot worse.
Yeah, and I think... And Kyle Chapman says it right. They those are games that should have actually been 10-7, if not for a few bounces. A lot of them, you had some 8-5s and 6-5s. And the irony of that entire series was this. After everybody bet the living daylights out of the over in that series, there was one game that went under, and it was the game literally that all the Vegas books put it up to an over-under of 8. And of course, naturally, that game was only 3-2.
Yep.
And then the final game went over anyway.
Yeah, it did.
Because literally they scored, I think, this is one of the hilarious things, it took them 60 minutes to score 5 goals, and it took like 13 minutes for them in game 6 to score 5 goals.
It was ridiculous. That series was nuts. And look, again, the Penguins, they definitely improved. This is a great, yes, they look, both of us were very happy because the Devils had the Flyers in the next round. The Flyers were poo-pooed after they handled business with Pittsburgh. And then the Devils played the Rangers in the next round. They got to the Stanley Cup final. Again, everything could have changed if Henrique doesn't score in game 7 against Florida. So there's a lot of factors that went into that Devils run in 2012. But if you look at the Penguins, right, they need to figure out what they're doing because, as you mentioned it before, Jake Guentzel is supposed to be reevaluated in 12 weeks of an ankle injury that was lingering at the end of the season, but was okay to train on and okay to skate on. But then in August, it's not okay to, it's just not getting better. Well, I'm not a doctor, but I've had a lot of injuries playing hockey. And they say the biggest thing for injuries to heal is rest. And I know I'm not the biggest guy that follow that. But putting your ankle in a hockey boot consistently does not help the injury get better.
Right. Here's the fun thing in this. By the way, we've all been wrong with this. I just talked to a certain COO of Cap Friendly. They just upped this yesterday. Pittsburgh actually wound up saving $3.13 million in cap space. Mm. Not that this makes much of it, a couple hundred thousand here or there. But as he put it, and amusingly so, yeah, we're going to tie this in. As he put it to me, and I quote, Jake Guentzel timeline may potentially be altered to 10 to 12 weeks, which would cause him to only potentially miss the first 5 games of the season. They tend to think that that reevaluation will be positive, which means, in layman's terms, it doesn't look like he's going to be able to be placed on the LTIR.
Which means Pittsburgh has to still make another move.
Yep. So here's what will ultimately happen, or we think. Pittsburgh, in theory, has to, or we think, has to sign one more forward, more than likely. It seems to be the goings of,
right,
of such. That forward is none other than Tomas Tatar.
Yep.
The amount being floated around depending on who you believe in the blogo media sphere, whatever you want to call it, is anywhere from about 1.75 to 3 million, depending on who you believe. There's been all sorts of amounts. What we know basically now is that's all on hold.
It is on hold. It's unless, all on hold. Unless he agrees to a PTO and signs for nothing.
Yeah, basically what will happen is Pittsburgh has to find somebody to trade, or has to find another team to love that is willing to take on one of their players, or they have to bury somebody, which means, again, they'll be down a roster spot. And again, there's lots of potential where they just try to pass someone through waivers and they get picked off. So there's all sorts of possibilities. There isn't a simple answer right now because, well, Jim, it's August 10th.
Exactly. It is August 10th. And I'm going to be honest, right? We're all trying to play doctor here with these injuries. Last year, you and I were pretty certain about Gabriel Landeskog throughout and up through the trade deadline and up through the start of playoffs. I'm going to stick with the reevaluation in 12 weeks. And I will believe when Jake Guentzel puts his foot on the ice playing for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Because ankle surgery, coming back from ankle surgery, getting ready for the regular season takes a little bit. He's not going to be in fine form. Again, if he only misses five games, this helps his team because he's his best scoring winger. Oh, don't forget he needs a new contract next season. Throw that into the mix. This team needs to figure out what it needs to do. And again, this is where you outbid yourself on a goalie the rest of the market didn't value that high.
Yeah, say they go and they sign Jarry for, what, maybe 5 years, 20, 5 years, 17.75.
Right.
So say they sign him in the 3.75, the $4 million range. Well, you just saved yourself potentially $1.5 million.
Yep.
There's your money from, again, it's not a huge amount, but when you but in a way it is, because again, if the salary cap had gone up 3-4 million instead of $1 million, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, because then everybody would fit nicely in everywhere. But again, the salary cap's the big winner, like it is right now. We're seeing this thing going all over the place, and why there's still a lot of good players still out there, or players taking 1 year deals who are going to get moved, and we'll get to that in a minute. But just stay on Pittsburgh for a minute, and you look, and you're just this is why you look and you say, man, Rickard Rakell at $5 million a season, go back to last year. Malkin, 3 years left at 6.1. I mean, that's not terrible. But again, and a lot of these guys, we brought it up, a lot of these guys got no move, no trade clauses.
Too many.
Too many.
Oh, and plus, you know, you have several that are in the dreaded 35 plus category. Ow.
Look, as much as Kyle Dubas gets credit for making all these moves,
it's undefeated.
Yeah, it's pretty much undefeated. It really is undefeated. Credit for all these moves he makes in the offseason. Again, he's still not learning from his mistakes in Toronto. And it is you got to put a winning team and ice the best team available. Look, we said it last year with Nashville. Could all these guys really have repeat seasons? Look, I'll take Sid to do what he did again, but I'm not betting on Gino and Letang and all those guys to do it again.
I'm kind of worried about all of them, to be honest. You really just don't know.
Because age is a problem, and you can't bounce back from injuries in your mid-30s like you did in your 20s.
No. And anybody who has played the sport, not even at an NHL level or even anywhere close, or is just athletic in general, knows you don't. You just don't bounce back like
you used to. Did.
It's just the reality. It sucks. Yeah, no one likes to say it, but it's a fact.
It does. I mean, look, trust me. We balled last night. I'm still feeling it. You know, so you know, it's.
Yeah.
But staying here for a minute, like, look, you look at this division, and you look at Pittsburgh and where they are, and everybody's like, oh, they're a better team. Okay, they're a better team. Doesn't mean they're playoff team or a top three team in the Metro still. They're in the same position they were last year with Washington. They're ahead of Washington. I'll give them that. But they're bunched with Boston. They're bunched with Washington. Who's missing the playoffs? Who's making the playoffs? You know, and Detroit and Buffalo and Ottawa got better. Florida's still there. Islanders, Rangers, Columbus is better. You're just mixed up in a batch of teams. Now, if somebody asked me, oh, do you think Eric Karlsson moved the needle for Pittsburgh? No, not really. If he was on Toronto or another team where I knew they were going to legit be locked to make the playoffs, then yeah. But this team is not a Stanley Cup contender by any means.
No, we don't know.
I know.
And it would take a lot.
You know the old line from Godfather Part 3, just when they think you're out, they pull you back in. That's been Pittsburgh over the last couple years. Like, we have this belief. But when you see this team's just good enough to get in the first round and they lose the way they do in the first round, just go back to 2021 against the Islanders. Yes, they were up 3-1 against the Rangers. Crosby gets hurt. But again, it comes down to defense. There was no reason Pittsburgh couldn't win game 5, 6, or 7 up in those games, multiple goal leads.
Oh, this is where this gets sobering if you're Pittsburgh. Right now, at least, and this obviously can change between now and October, the average effective age, now there's a key point in this, it's the average age of the current roster players on the team. Because remember, since Jake Guentzel is injured, he technically doesn't count at this time. Pittsburgh's average age is 31.8.
Old.
They are the oldest team in the league right now.
And they just nudged out the Islanders, Rangers, and Capitals.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole host of teams right around 30, by the way.
Not good.
Yeah. There's quite an extensive list.
Funny how the Rangers went from the youngest team 3 years ago to one of the oldest teams this year.
Yeah, their effective age isn't bad right now.
No.
But their age in reality is actually it's kind of funny that sort of construct is actually tilted the other way, which is with so many teams it's not. By the way, the one of the youngest teams, one you totally would not expect.
What?
And then there's one that is. Buffalo's one of the youngest.
Yeah, I figured that.
25.6.
I figured that.
Now, then you start going down the line, you start getting down to some ridiculously funny and ugly numbers. Here's one that's interesting, though. You know who's younger than the Devils?
Who?
This is a little bit of a surprise. It's not by much. I mean, we're talking like a few days. The Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
You know, I mean, I get people wouldn't be, but it surprises some people. I mean,
I think Sanderson and Shabbat and Kachuk, all of Stutzel helps that number just a little bit.
Don't worry, Boston's still old, ladies and gentlemen. They're right in the 30s.
Well, I like what Kyle was bringing here. Sounds like the 02 to 08 Red Wings. You got to make it 09 because they went back-to-back Stanley Cup finals. They won two cups in that time frame. But again, that was a Red Wings team that just hung on and hung on to keep this playoff streak alive when they should have been rebuilding along the way too after that 09 season instead of, So, you know, and then I think that's similar to what we're seeing in Pittsburgh, right? You know, you saw it in Chicago. They hung on. Pittsburgh's holding on. And there could be some lean years coming with this team.
Yeah, I guess it really, really comes down to, can you win?
We're going to find out.
This is it. Let's put it this way. This is going to be really quick. Metropolitan Division is arguably the toughest in the NHL right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Jersey, Carolina, Pittsburgh, Rangers, Islanders together right there. Columbus is better, Philly, you know.
And just from a style standpoint, you have several teams in that division that can wear down a team like Pittsburgh.
With their speed.
Right. Speed and forecheck. How did most teams beat Pittsburgh last year?
Speed and forecheck.
It feels like a broken record. And then you got a few past Jarry or DeSmith, and it didn't really make a difference.
And they didn't score on a power play a lot. And like Carlson's going to help the power play, but again, you got to finish on the power play. You know, you lose four to the Devils, you lose four to the Islanders, you're splitting here and there. Look here. This team is not. I mean, they're not a Stanley Cup contender. They're not. You could make the argument they're top three team. You could make the argument they're three or wild card. But they're right in that bunch of those 10 teams that are probably battling it out for the final couple of spots left. I just don't see them because you have Nedeljkovic as a backup. You have Jarry there. You got to hope Jarry stops the puck, timely saves, all this stuff. But health is the big thing right now for this Pittsburgh Penguins team with the age they are.
If let's put it this way, if they are in the bottom half in man games, if they're relatively healthy enough where they're in the bottom half, maybe even bottom third for man games lost to injury, they might be okay. But
maybe
if the injuries pile up, and especially early with the way their schedule is going to be set up and the teams they have to play to make the playoffs, man, I do not want to be Mike Sullivan. I don't care how much money I'm getting.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, look, Pittsburgh, you know, they still got a good coach, still got a good captain, but again, not going to be easy. Again, they're going to be must-see TV, no doubt. But sometimes must-see TV doesn't make it into winning TV. So, again, great move to add Carlson. They shedded cap space. They got bad contracts off. Same with Montreal. But, again, still not a Stanley Cup contender. Still a bubble playoff team to me. I think that the contract of Malkin is really going to hamper this team. They should have cut bait last year. They should have made the hard decision last year with him. I'm okay with Letang coming back, but they needed to make a tough decision, and they're going to find out that they're going to need to make a tough decision because Jake Getzel's going to need to get paid too. So the Penguins, big trade on Sunday. The other big news that day was Matt Dumba signing an Arizona one-year deal, $4 million, and Chris mentioned a lot. You know, there's still some free agents out there. You know, a lot of teams with one-year deals going on. And to me, this is pretty much similar to what we saw last year in Anaheim with John Klingberg signs a one-year deal, except this contract doesn't have no trade protection. So guess what? Matt Dumba's probably going to a contender at the trade deadline at some point, along with Jason Zucker and a whole bunch of other guys.
Or the normal thing that Arizona does almost every trade deadline.
Yeah, pretty much.
But the you know, of course, the ramifications, obviously. Again, salary cap is probably about, yeah, as Kyle put it, 120, no.
Mm-hmm.
Dumba thought, you know, he gambled on last year. It didn't work. Backfired completely.
Mm-hmm.
Had to take what he could get, which surprisingly, I honestly thought he was going to get less. But then I realized, well, it's Arizona. They pay a little bit. You know, $500,000 sun fee, perhaps. I don't know, but still, you're hoping if you're Arizona that you're plopping him on the power play, he magically finds his shot, because that's one of the other big things that has gotten lost in the last few seasons. Matt Dumba used to have this hard shot that would get through at least half the time.
Now it don't even get through, and it's
now just.
And let's not even talk about his foot speed gone.
Foot speed just.
I mean, you saw it the last couple of years against, what was it? Colorado,
Dallas, you name it.
Dallas. He was exposed so badly in those series.
And again, Arizona, for what it's worth, does have a pretty decent skating coach. Just saying.
I mean, if you can get that back. If he gets that back, he's going to be a hot commodity at the deadline.
Yeah. He just has to get there. He there's no way in creation, if he winds up with, like, say, 15 to 18 points through 60 games, he's getting traded to anybody.
Nobody's going to want
anybody.
Him.
No one's going to want that.
But then again, you never know, because teams are always looking for size shots on the right side.
It's true. I mean, look at how. I guess you could technically say it. You know, Gostisbehere kind of resurrected his career a little bit in Arizona. I mean, remember he had the awful year in Philly where he couldn't do anything. He got bent. You know, everything that could go wrong did.
He wasn't producing,
and he goes to Arizona. He piles up a few power play points, and magically he turns it into something halfway decent.
And he goes to what, Carolina, right?
Yeah, he ends up in Carolina. Does
not
all right.
Not a bad thing. Gets the conference final, loses. Okay, that's not bad. If Dumba can do some of that, yes, at a team like Toronto, Tampa, somebody's going to want him. But he has to get there, like you said. He has to get there. And yeah, this Arizona team's coming, and they're gonna be a better team. Not they're gonna be a playoff team. Forget it. That ain't happening for a long time. But they're gonna be better.
Right. And you know, again, like we said, you know, he gained some foot speed, he gained some confidence with his shot. Somebody will eventually come calling. Just a question of he has to do both, and I could be wrong. I mean, you never know with this.
Well, a team like Tampa could bury him on like the third. He could be like a 6th, 7th defenseman where you don't have to use his foot speed.
It's true too. You know, it's always possible. I mean, we saw it with a certain player that still wound up getting paid in Columbus.
Damon Severson.
2 cent head. All the talent in the world.
I just don't know if the system that he was playing in the last couple of years really was effective. We're going to see what happens in Mike Babcock's system.
That's going to be wild. We don't. Anybody knows what Columbus is going to do, and I think even people in Columbus don't really
have
know
no
either.
Idea. Have we, no idea. All they know is it's Adam Fantilli, baby. That's it.
Still one of the greatest signs I've seen this year.
I saw that. I was like, that's awesome. That was awesome. But yeah, go check AEW Dynamite last night. That was a great sign. They were in Columbus. Somebody put an Adam Fantilli, baby sign up. But look, Columbus is going to be it's going to be an interesting team just because the unknown factor of Mike Babcock. He's saying all the right things. You know, he's coming out doing all the right things. I want to see the product on the ice because they got Provorov, you got Severson, you got talent on that team. If the injury bug, if they stay healthy, could Columbus get back to where they were prior to going downhill?
Okay, I'm going to say this. I'll temper it a little. Damn, Debbie Downer. No. They'll be better.
I don't think they're going to be a playoff team.
I've got three big concerns, and one of them is Boone Jenner.
Yes.
So for those that don't know, Boone Jenner has been shut down probably, I would argue, at least the last three seasons due to a back issue that is not going away. So
that's not a good thing for what your number one center, right?
Number one center.
Yep. Which they really
captain of the team, by the way. You know, or at least right now, captain of the team. Nobody knows. But it's a huge concern. Patrick Laine is not the most healthy player on the face of the planet. The key word in this is nobody is saying that these players are injury prone. It's just the reality of there are certain injuries that you don't quite recover from, right? And exactly. Look, Boone Jenner's starting to get up there in years. And when you consider a back injury, that effective age cranks up very quickly, sadly.
Yes.
And that's a big concern. Then you have, you know, what's on defense, which while it's improved, is it going to come together? Is Zach Werenski going? There's too many questions without really having much in the way of answers. And they could be a surprise. But it could also could kind of go as expected.
Right. But I think they're definitely an improved hockey team.
They're better. There's no way this team's going to be flirting with the number one draft pick this year.
No, absolutely not.
Unless they have 550 man games lost to injury again.
Right, and if that happens, then they're getting a number one pick, and Columbus will just add another top tier player to go with Fantilli, and that's where they're going to be. And you look at the board, right? And you look at and let's throw another name out there that just signed. Martin Jones signs in Toronto. three-headed monster now in Toronto. You got Samsonov, Joseph Wall, and Martin Jones. Again, I think this is an area where if Jones has to go down, he goes down because you can't risk Joseph Wall going on waivers. You can't.
I believe he's not waivers exempt.
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
Doesn't sound like it from what I was listening to in Toronto radio. It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, Fan 590 was pretty adamant about this. So I'm going to tend to actually believe them here.
And to me, I mean, look, it's a great safety net in case somebody gets hurt. He did have a good season in Seattle. But Joseph Wall is the future of this team. Look, I watched the kid play. I saw him in Madison Square Garden, and I was advocating for him to be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He gives this team stability between the pipes.
Oh, you're gonna like this. Obviously, Toronto amusingly has one of the weirder cap space numbers in the league.
Yeah,
they're still over the cap.
I know they are.
It's just funny. I mean, you look. I don't think this late in the offseason I've seen it where a team had a double digit LTIR hit and a double digit over the cap hit like this.
That's ridiculous.
And they can carry it only because your actual perceived cap space has to be 10% over or less, which it technically is.
Right.
But
and,
I
oh,
mean,
by the way, let's throw in the fact that this fan base is actually relatively calm that Matthews' extension has not been announced yet, or Nylander. It seems like everything's okay right now.
Everything's okay.
Right now.
Yeah. Almost weirdly, too. Okay. Oh, by the way, the Toronto Maple Leafs are also the favorite to win their division.
Yeah.
No pressure.
No pressure.
No. Sheldon Keefe gets the essential, you think, year-long vote of confidence?
I don't think so.
I think so.
He doesn't have a new contract. They didn't give him one.
Yeah, this is it. You either win now or
you're not getting.
You may be gone. It's a good question.
Maybe the Jays have been taking over the Toronto airwaves right now. I mean, look.
Give it a month.
Give it a month, because when training camp rolls around and Austin Matthews doesn't have an extension, that's all they're going to talk about.
Yep. You know, and Nylander starts making subtle little like jabs. Oh, the fireworks are going to begin.
Fireworks are going to start. And look. And then you could say the same thing right now in Winnipeg. Or, you know, why is Hellebuck still there? Well, it's the market. You look at it. Everybody says, oh, well, the Sharks. And I'm not the first person to say this, but I know I'm the first person that was talking about returns before prominent people were. And I'll say this. The returns are what the returns are going to be. Teams like Winnipeg or Ottawa were not going to get what they were going to get because – they want to still win. Same with San Jose. You knew exactly where it was going to go. This is what they were going to have to give up. This is what you're going to have to take on. And you're going to have to figure out a way to move it later on or keep it because you have to get to the cap floor.
Mm.
So damn. The returns are going to be with the returns, but this is a good hockey trade for all parties involved when we circle back to the beginning.
Something else, right? Actually, like, you can't really say there was an out-and-out loser of this deal.
No, there isn't. And again, winners and losers of trades, and you can't project that right away because you don't know. You just don't know. It's like drafts. You don't know. But we talk about free agent extensions. Well, we're still waiting on a couple of big RFAs. Alexis Lafreniere, Trevor Zegras have still yet to have extensions.
Now, again, apparently the Rangers are magically waiting on something. And the amount's out there. It's been out there for what feels like the whole summer, $2.5 million.
Over 2 years. It's two years times $2.5 million.
So it's just a question of, I guess, when.
Exactly.
I don't know. You know, Zegras is a little bit different of a story, obviously. There's some other RFA. There's another RFA that might.
Oh, Evan Bouchard. Yeah, we need to throw him in there.
That's gonna be a fun one. And of course, obviously, you know, the news that, you know, we kind of touched on that happened about a week ago when Jeff Jackson stopped becoming, you know,
stopped being
Connor McDavid's agent, and now is his boss of a boss. Could be good for Bouchard, actually, in the long run.
Definitely could be. But again, It's August. It's August 10th, and these guys are not signed yet.
Yeah, it's the old Roy Rogers commercial song, Jim. See you in September.
See you in September, but I mean, Zegras needs to be in camp. All these guys need to be in camp.
They have said, both of them, especially Zegras, has reiterated quite a few times, will not be in camp without new deal.
The face Pepper. Of your franchise.
Pat Verbeek, you're up.
You're up, Verbeek. Oh, and by the way, you signed Leo Carlson to an entry-level deal. And you didn't take Adam Fantilli.
Yeah.
And you signed Troy Terry to a 7-year times $7 million deal.
Yeah, you took some risks, Pat.
Yeah, you took some risks, Pat. And you got to get Zegras done. You got to get him done.
You got to get Zegras done, and you got to figure out what some point.
You got to move John Gibson, right?
You would think so.
You would think, right? I mean, this is why I don't understand why Pittsburgh didn't address bring the hometown boy home.
Did they have the pieces to make it happen?
Maybe they didn't.
But
Corpus Salo was out there for five times $4 million.
There are things in the NHL landscape that there is no way to make sense out of. And it's not even saying that it's above our pay grade or anything like that. It's just some other realm that is a mystery.
It really is.
Because of these things. And look, John Gibson is one of them. I mean, you could look at the numbers and say how bad he was last year. He gave up all these goals and everything else. But in there is a rather good goaltender. You get, for the lack of a better term, it's not Stockholm syndrome, but there is some kind of like trauma effect where it's like, you know, you see 2-3 pucks go in and you watch the defense just sit around and it's like, is this really worth it? And you just check out.
And he did that a lot last year.
He did that a lot. And look, that's on the player too.
Right.
We're not saying that it's, you know, that John Gibson is completely blameless here. That whole team is a mess.
But that whole team's a mess.
They gave up at one point last year, and I think Jim and I, we even joked about it on the show, and Ian even chimed in later, that the Anaheim Ducks in early February gave up, and I can't believe I'm saying this number. I know the number dipped. 40.1 shots on goal at one point a game.
Damn, man. That's ridiculous.
It was just something. Let's put it this way. You figured they weren't going to finish with that. By the way, it was 39.2 at the end of the season. But still, it's just a number that we haven't seen. 39
shots you're giving up a game? I mean, that's ridiculous. That's awful.
These are things that we didn't even really see in the 80s except from one or two teams. And again, it's a great point. I will argue, maybe until my dying breath, that it was more than that.
I still think it was more than that. Some favorable shot counts.
Because we have joked with, you know, DFS contests and things like that where you know, that hit was missed or there were three or four shots that definitely counted and certain props even. And it's like,
But you look at the shot sheet after and it's like, you're missing a couple of things. And look, again, we're going to see what happens because there's still a lot of big names that could get moved at that deadline. I mean, we're still months away from it. And again, you see teams, again, the salary cap's the big winner. You see guys taking one-year deals, betting on themselves, potentially get traded later on. Look, Devils signed a couple sneaky good players, Nosek. You just signed Calfoot. That's a nice move by them. Again, you got to just look at the divisions, look at the players, look at the moves, and you just – this is what we do. We analyze and we break down. But when most of the pundits agree on the Carlson trade not improving the team that much, again, it's a great trade. He's a good player. He improves any team he goes on. But it's not like it's a needle mover like it would have been anyplace else.
Or even several years ago, say before pandemic, when Carlson was a more elite. And I'll say this. I think he was misused even in Ottawa to some points.
I definitely
because
think
he was. He was a better defenseman than he was made out to be to that end.
But what he did in 2017 is undeniable.
Look, there's two. It's like the old, there's two constructs that can be true. 2017 and last year were incredible.
Absolutely.
And also now he's an aging defenseman on a team full of aging players.
We're going to see what this team's all about this year.
I can't wait.
I can't. Like I said, it's must-see TV every time. When the Penguins are on, you're going to want to see it.
But we did not forget one important segment, Jim. For the betters, Over City.
Over City.
You're going to see. Wait till you see the first 50 games for Pittsburgh.
Chris,
60% over.
Before we get out of here, it's probably way too early. Mm-hmm. But I bet you some degenerate site has it out there. Opening night, Chicago, Pittsburgh, what's the line? If you have it. If you have it. For the degenerates out there.
By the way, laughably enough, the over-under is only 6.5.
It's not a bad number.
At least right now, that's not a bad number, and I'm hammering that over.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. For those that don't know, actually, DK has most of the opening line lines okay. Right now.
All right. So, I mean, look, I expected it to be around 6. With both defenses, both teams bad. But, you know, again, let's see what happens. Look, Pittsburgh's going to be out for some revenge. It's Bedard's first game that night. But there's still a lot to get done. Again, a lot of people shocked that Tatar's not still out there. Things got to get settled. Still
crazy, right?
There's still free agent signings bumping here and there everywhere. But you know we'll be here rolling with you. Any major stuff breaks, you know, we always come on here, do this thing with you. Training camp's going to be right around the corner, and you know we're going to ramp it up. Be back with you all the time, every week, all the time, giving you the entertainment. Like the Rockers, baby. High energy all the time for the ladies out there, too. Because those guys, they're one of the best tag teams, just never won the tag team belts. But they did. Go read about it, 1990. But everybody, thank you for tuning in tonight. Full Press Hockey Weekly, at Full Press NHL on Twitter, at Full Press Coverage, Full Press Radio Network, Full Press Coverage on Facebook and YouTube. Get it, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, fullpresshockey.com as well. For Chris Wassel, Ian Glennon, my NWO members, also part of the Rockers, I've been your host, Jim Berenger, the voice of Full Press Hockey. Guys, enjoy the rest of your night and the weekend.